This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and flowchart with your boy,
my boy,
Matt Wolf
and Joe Fit.
Hey!
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. My name is Matt Wolf, and I'm standing here with
Joe Fear.
And today we've got a really, really awesome guest.
His name is David Schlossy.
No, David Schlossy. Yeah, he goes by Schlossy. And he is actually our Facebook ads guy. He runs all of our Facebook ads for Evergreen Profits, all our webinars, actually helps us run ads to various affiliate products and stuff. And
in this episode, you will learn some badass techniques to basically grow your list quickly using Facebook ads and driving them to webinar registration pages. And you can use this for other applications as well, of course. But we go heavy into webinars because it is the best lead generation method that we use currently. So we give a lot of real world examples. David is like the most like application. I mean, you could just apply this like a course.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
You can literally step by step go through this podcast, take notes, or just literally follow along in Facebook at the same time, which actually I recommend. and actually get some results by the end of this, you know, whatever it was, less than an hour episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. And David, like I said, he's the guy who runs all of our Facebook ads for us. We're mostly having him drive ad traffic to webinars for us. And in this webinar or this, no, sorry, this podcast, we're going to break down exactly how to drive Facebook ad traffic to webinars. So let's dive in with David.
Into it.
All right. Hey, David, thanks so much for jumping on with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. Really appreciate being here.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and just like jump right into some good stuff, and let's talk a little bit about how you got into Facebook advertising. I'm kind of curious about the sort of progression of what you were doing before, and then you know how you kind of become this sort of ninja guru of Facebook advertising, one of the go-to guys.
Yeah, so I jumped into I jumped into Facebook ads about 7 to 8 years ago. I had first started out in the SEO and video marketing game a little more than 10 years ago while I was still in college. And that was sort of my first introduction to online marketing, right? But in terms of pivoting into paid traffic, what really got me to just explore the social ad platforms, which at the time was, you know, Facebook, Twitter was just getting things rolling. YouTube was around for maybe like a year or two, and that was it. There really were no other social ad platforms at the time. I figured SEO is going through this crisis right now. It was when Panda and Penguin and all these other animal names came out, and all sorts of craziness was going on, and I just couldn't deal with it anymore. And so my mentor said, it's time for you to make a change, and I would suggest you start looking into paid advertising. Just because it's the easiest transition for you away from what you're doing right now, since SEO and paid ads were complementing each other very much back then. And so I moved over into the Facebook advertising realm because it was brand new. It was the Wild West. Everything was cheap to test, but there weren't a lot of research or audience targeting options as there are today. And really the only way you could have run ads were right-hand side and even the feed, right? So the feed was starting with desktop. They opened up mobile. Like they were just introducing little parts of the placement areas that we're more familiar with today.
Right, right.
And, you know, I could put 10 bucks into that and get 1,000 clicks. You know, you do that today, you're a superstar, right?
Right, right, right.
But the average Joe does not usually get a $10, you know, ad spend that equates to 1,000 clicks like it used to back in the day. And so I jumped in because it was very easy to sign up, which even though when they first opened, it was more of like a beta platform, right? They had certain companies and certain advertisers join, but not everyone could join. But yet somehow I had an invitation in my inbox to join Facebook ads because I signed up on the list to be a part of the, I guess just like the initial group of people to use it. So somehow I got in and I just started playing around with the platform, you know, $10, $15 at a time.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
About 7, 8 years ago. So imagine just like
you could
instead of
lot,
having tens of thousands of advertisers, there might be 1,000.
Yeah.
Right. Awesome. And you have this entire network at your disposal. So it was a very different time. Unfortunately, it took me several years to really understand how I could promote this to people. Because at the time, saying I could help you with Facebook advertising and getting you customers and clients, it was so new that no one really had case studies on how to do that.
I would imagine so. Yeah. And just now, I mean, now it's more of a money thing. I think people know the power of it. Back then you had to frame, okay, here's this new thing. It's not Google. It's not, you know, YouTube. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I remember the very first time I think I ever even kind of got into the Facebook ad platform. If I remember correctly, I don't even remember newsfeed ads being an option. Didn't it just start with only the sidebar?
It was only the right-hand side.
Yeah, that's what I thought I remember. It was pretty much only the right-hand side. The newsfeed ads, I think, came like a couple years after, or maybe like a year after the ad platform started. So, but I mean, back then, just the right sidebar thing was, you know, probably pretty effective. So.
Oh, it was incredibly effective. It's like, what are these pictures appearing on the right-hand side of my Facebook account?
Yeah.
Right? Because remember, how many times has Facebook changed their newsfeed in the last 7 years?
How about in the last 7 days?
It seemed like every year they were changing something. At least back then, they were changing the entire look and feel of the newsfeed.
Hmm.
And that was always a big issue with advertisers, because we would be running ads on the right-hand side with the I'll just call it the old school layout, and it would be super effective, but all the ads were really small. Mm-hmm. Then they would adjust the newsfeed to be more left-hand aligned so that the images on the right-hand side would get bigger. But then people started to neglect the right-hand side. Oh, we're not going to click this. We know it's ads. So then they start opening up more options, you know, newsfeed ads and then showing them on mobile and all these other things. And then people had to get indoctrinated to what it was like to have ads in their newsfeed. So just like over time, not only have advertisers had to evolve with how placements are, you know, put into use on the platform, but then we also had to integrate all these new changes, which you guys are very familiar. When something happens, you know, someone like me goes to you and says, hey, there was an update over the weekend, and no one even knows that it happened. Oh, unless you're that active on the platform.
Right.
So imagine back then, it's a huge change and no one has any idea why it happened.
Yeah. No, I feel like today it happens at a much more rapid rate than it even used to back then. I mean, every time I turn on my Facebook, it looks like, you know, something slight has changed, you know, like the little, you know, we log in one day and now it's not just like, now you could like, laugh, smile, be mad at crap, you know, all that stuff changed. And then like 2 days later, you know, the like buttons look different. And then, you know, 2 days later, you know, like,
well, the whole advertisement platform, didn't it change in the background just like a week ago?
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
I don't know for
everybody. They merged the power editor now with the regular editor. So it's all just one main editor. I mean, like, everything just seems like it feels like every month there's something new that we need to be paying attention to with Facebook ads.
So I guess David, like, how do you stay up with all this stuff? I know you're in the trenches every single day, but, you know, talking to a lot of these people are going to try it for themselves, maybe for the first time, or even maybe their season. How do they stay up with these changes in the background, the front, all this stuff?
Well, as you use the platform more and more, you start to notice these nuances happening in real time. So for example, you know, you mentioned the platform having a change about a week ago. Facebook has been talking about integrating the Ads Manager and the Power Editor for quite some time.
Hmm.
And for some people, as I'll just say about 3 months ago, I started to notice my Ads Manager and Power Editor looked exactly the same.
Right.
So I would get confused on where I'm setting up ads, unless I would look up to the left and I'm like, oh, it's the Ads Manager, or oh, it's the Power Editor.
And they look today, like identical almost.
It's, yeah. I mean, not, today, they're the same thing. They're the same shade of blue. It's the same buttons. Everything's practically the same. So unless you're in there all the time, you wouldn't even notice that something happened.
Mm, okay.
And then the only way you would know is when you go into some sort of Facebook advertiser group and you have 50 guys saying, hey, what the heck happened? None of my stuff's working.
I think that's the fear. Yeah.
When there's an update going on, your ads don't perform the same.
Mm, okay.
And that's a huge indicator when something's going on. So if you have 29 straight days of amazing campaigns, you're getting leads for $3 a piece, people are buying all the time, and then you have this one day where it seems like you got one lead, that's how you can sort of get an understanding of, like, there has to be something going on.
Right. Right. That's kind of your indicator that there's probably some updates going on behind the scenes and stuff's just not quite acting right.
Exactly. And it sucks that that's the only indicator for now. I mean, of course, you have live chat support, which once again, not everyone has. You have your agency reps and your Facebook reps for the general advertising population. But sometimes the reps themselves don't even know.
Yeah.
we've experienced that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of those things where you sort of just have to be aware and alert all the time within the platform. And if you use it enough, you start to notice these things happening. Like, you know, for example, for anyone who logs into Facebook ads in the present moment, you might notice that your placement section is way more detailed. Now they have a thumbnail that shows you what the placement looks like with an explanation of what the placement can do for you. They didn't have that before. And what I mean by that is they didn't have that 2 days ago. And it's there now.
Interesting.
So, you know, and these are the types of things that are launched at 1 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
Right? So only the most hardcore advertisers that should be sleeping but are still working on some ads really notice these things.
Right.
And, you know, otherwise you'd wake up in the morning going, why is everything different?
Right, right.
So you got a little leg up. I guess the big thing here for the listeners is don't get scared off with all these changes. I think we kind of jumped in with almost like the scary stuff. The stuff that changes, oh, this thing can break overnight, but... Yeah. But I think it's totally is, even though it's a little bit more pricey, it's the best lead generation source we have currently. And I know we can talk about a lot of more stuff and how to do it.
A lot more stuff.
Hey, yep. I'm still waking up. No, okay. Well, let's dive into webinar stuff, right?
Yeah, that's what we were sort of excited to really talk about today is driving some ad traffic to webinars. Because I know, you know, you're our ad guy. You help us run our ads for our own business. And right now you're helping us drive some ad traffic to webinars. So we wanted to give our listeners some good little tips for if they have a webinar, what would you suggest, you know, what sort of strategies, tips, advice would you give to people trying to run ad traffic to webinars? And let's just kind of dig in on that a little bit.
Sure. So I get asked about webinars pretty much every day. At least that's what it feels like now. And a lot of people typically come to me with this initial question. It's, should I drive people straight to the landing page, aka the registration page, or do I need to deliver content and build up an audience of people who like and trust me? Mm-hmm. What I tend to find is that you could start with either process, but I like to just send people straight to the registration page, and here's why. If your offer is intriguing, people are going to sign up anyway, regardless of whether or not they trust you. They're going to sign up. Mm-hmm. If they want to learn about how to build a store or a business or sell high ticket or whatever it may be, they will sign up regardless of whether or not they know who you are and what you do. Now, if you're concerned about the reaction from these people, such as, you know, if I get 100 people to sign up and only 20 show up, that could be just because they don't really feel the necessity to be there, mm-hmm. right? And that could be due to your branding. It could be due to your follow-up sequence. There's a lot of moving parts there. But let's just say that you attribute it to your branding. Well, if that is the case, then yeah, you would have to start out with indoctrinating people to who you are and what you do and why you do what you do. But what I find is that people are really impatient and they don't want to spend money on people just generating clicks and saying how great they are. They want a result now. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of people jump on the platform. If you're going to start with a webinar, send your traffic directly to the registration page and focus on getting people who want to be there. Basically, you'll know that by how many people are clicking from your ad to your landing page and how many of those clicks are turning into opt-ins. And if it's more than 30%, you have something that people are definitely paying attention to. If you have over 40%, you are tackling a hot button issue that people want to hear for sure.
Mm,
right. And so there's a lot of other people that I know who can get much more than 40% opt-in rates on their webinars. And that's because they are going after the trend that people want to solve. So that could merely be, for example, I don't like accounts getting shut down. So someone might have a webinar about how not to get your account shut down. All of a sudden, you see this person say, we've had 600 people register. How is that possible? There's something going on with a account shutdown situation. So a lot of people are interested in that subject, regardless of if that person's famous or not.
Yeah, it's interesting. We recently went to Todd Brown, I'm sure you're buddies with him, conference out there in Orlando, and it's kind of similar to his discussion to, you know, if you have to brand yourself, if you have to do that kind of marketing, you're going to be spending a lot more money, a lot more time, and it's like an uphill battle because it's that whole indoctrination sequence.
It's a lot slower path to profit too.
Yeah, but it's cool because the way you're describing this, it's like the beginner is on the same plane almost, as like someone that's been in the trenches for 10 years, you know, doing business. But it's doing the research, figuring out what the hot button is, what the hot topic is, and delivering that.
Exactly. And you also have to consider this, you know, even though it might be a longer term play to deliver content and maybe promote a webinar or two along the way, you have the probability of being much more relevant in the future than the guy who's just promoting webinars all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. You still got to make some money to keep that ad machine going. So you can do both the promotion of a webinar and promote useful content to the general public at the same time. Just maybe apply 90% of your budget towards the webinar and 10% towards your branding. But a lot of people believe they have to do one or the other, that they can't work together. There's no harmony.
Mm-hmm.
You should be doing both. It's just like why you guys can do a podcast and have webinar ads and have a newsletter. It's you can have all these things going on at the same time because they all are cohesive. They all create one unique brand, right? Absolutely. They're all part of one thing. They're not separated. And everyone, at least that I've dealt with, it believes it's one or the other, that they don't work together at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we with Evergreen Profits, our business, we actually call it the EGP ecosystem, you know, where we've got our webinars, we've got our podcast, we've got our private Facebook groups, we've got our, you know, our what else do we got, Joe? We've got like live calls that we do with our customers every month.
Bunch of stuff, bonus things thrown in there. But yeah, everything areas. Ties together. That's the whole point.
It all ties together. Yeah. And, you know, another point too is if your webinar is a decent webinar, you're going to accomplish a lot of the branding, a lot of the indoctrination, a lot of proving your value to the potential customers. If you do a good job with creating your webinar, you know, the first at least 50% of your webinar is going to be indoctrinating yourself to those leads. It's going to be teaching those leads some sort of cool concept. You know, most webinars are teaching first, pitching second.
Right.
So you're, you know, you accomplish all that in just a single shot.
Yeah. And not to mention, you know, as these leads are coming in from your webinar promotion, you are essentially building up that raving fan base that everyone wants to create.
Yeah.
Right. So for those of you who've heard about the 1,000 raving fans concept, the goal is that you create 1,000 fans that constantly buy from you, no matter what you create.
Yep.
A new course, a new program, an event, these 1,000 people are always going to buy your stuff. Now, of course, in order to get there, you have to create a sustainable brand that people align with, and you have to have a massive email list.
Right.
Because there are some people I know with a list of 100,000 people, and they can't get 1,000 buyers.
Yep.
They have to hustle for 1,000 buyers. They can't just email something out there, and it's like, oh, 1,000 people love my stuff.
Right.
Right? But when you get to that point of having a great list that loves what you create and they want to buy your stuff constantly, you have a sustainable business. Even if Facebook disappears and Twitter disappears and YouTube disappears, you still have an email list, then guess what? Those people will buy from you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the important part is knowing that, you know, Facebook, it probably will be around for a very long time, but who knows what advertising is going to do, what the costs are going to look like, or what the restrictions will be one day. You know, as being smart is always figure out how to kind of own some of their audience, you know, bring that into your own ecosystem.
Yeah. And with webinars, one thing, you know, at least Joe and I have noticed, I'm sure you've probably seen the same thing, is that registering people for webinars is probably one of the most effective lead generation tactics we've ever seen. I mean, we'll put out opt-in pages, and, you know, we were actually having a conversation about this a couple of days ago, but we'll put out opt-in pages and we'll get cheaper leads, but for whatever reason, when we send people to webinar registration pages, the conversion rate, you know, how many of the people that hit that page actually opt in for the webinar is just insane compared to our just regular, you know, standard squeeze page, opt-in page. So webinars are a very, very, very highly effective way to grow a list. When I was running Learn to Blog with my previous business partner, Bradley, we ran a webinar for Learn to Blog, and I think we put about 100,000 people on a list in about 1 year, and it was 100% through webinar registrations.
There you go.
So
there you go.
Pretty interesting stuff. Now let's did you have something you wanted to?
No, just closing the window because there's a lawnmower out there.
Oh, I
background noise.
Luckily, the audio. Luckily, the podcast isn't picking it
up. We're good.
But
yeah, we're good.
So let's dive in for a second on like actual like tactical kind of stuff for the webinars. Mm-hmm. We don't have to get too deep because I know it's going to vary from niche to niche and target to target and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But do you have any? Let's start with the webinar registration page. What are some elements that you've seen on a webinar registration page that sort of helps make that conversion?
So with a webinar registration page these days, what I find is that you don't necessarily need like a video playing on the page or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Most people look at a catchy headline that focuses around a result, mm-hmm. not a time frame, not like, oh, how you can make your next $10,000 in the next 30 days, but more along the lines of, more of like a case study. So for example, one of the headlines that I wrote when I was doing a training webinar for one of my clients was how I created a seven-figure social ad agency without having to run ads. Mm-hmm. And people were going, how is that possible? You have an ad agency. How do you not run ads and get clients?
I like it.
So I gave them the result, you know, how we've generated seven figures in revenue, not a time frame. No one really understands that I've been doing this for over 10 years, but the agency itself didn't really catch fire until about 3 years ago.
Got it.
Right. So I gave them the result and I said, here's the hook, without running any ads. All of a sudden, people were like confused and curious at the same time.
Right.
So you're looking, you want to give some sort of a result with the hook, and the hook could be that unique proposition of, you know, without running ads or without having a store. There's a lot of e-com webinars right now focused around how you can earn with e-commerce without building a store.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who feel technology-wise that they're not capable of building a store, so that grabs their attention.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
You know, how you can get 1,000 readers to your blog without having to write every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like things like that. There's always that result in the hook. You can keep it very simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you incorporate 3 to 4 key bullet points that go along with the headline, meaning that they sort of expand upon what you're going to cover in the webinar, that's really all you need to get someone to commit as a yes or a no to your webinar.
Right.
Everything else is simply just reinforcing that you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is, you know, there are webinar registration pages that have case studies or screenshots or testimonials from their past students saying, you know, when I worked with Matt and Joe, my business grew by 3x. When I worked with David, my advertising converted at 310%, right? Like there's all these people just reinforcing that you're great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But once again, it's not a necessity.
Right.
Because
right.
most people are going to make their decision based off your headline and your bullet points.
Yeah, right. That's so true. Because I know our registration page, it's pretty much what you just said. I think the only addition is we have a picture of Matt and I speaking on stage to an audience. And that's it. And that thing's converted over 50%.
Well, wait,
or so
the best we've ever seen on that page is 60%, but it pretty consistently does over 50% registration rate. There are a couple little like tactical elements that we did that probably marginally improved conversions. You know, we've got a little countdown timer on there to sort of, you know, put the scarcity in there so people know when the webinar's starting. So, you know, they'll register in a more timely manner instead of thinking, oh, I'll come back to this one. And then we've also got that little FOMO thing that pops up in the bottom left that says, so-and-so just registered 5 minutes ago. So-and-so just registered 10 minutes ago. And that's a nice little social proof thing. Those things, you know, obviously, like you said, they're probably not 100% necessary, but they might marginally improve conversions.
Right.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I was only focusing on like the key elements that you need to at least get started with the webinar registration page, right? Everything else that you add, whether it's the little notification in the bottom left or right that pops up when someone registers, or adding testimonials, or adding a picture of you on stage speaking, or any of those things, those are all additional, right? Those are all just looking for ways to take it from 35% to 40 or 40 to 50, right?
Exactly.
But the average Joe who could just jump in, create a page and click funnels or lead pages and just fill in the blanks. All they really need is a captivating headline, some bullet points, maybe even a picture of who they are and what they're presenting. And that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it really simple.
Now, I actually want to kind of circle back around to something you said, you know, a couple minutes ago. You were kind of giving some examples of headlines. Now, when it comes to Facebook ads specifically, I know there's some things that you can and can't do with headlines. So can we just touch on that for a second? Because the way you worded some of the things was was very specific. Like, you couldn't just go and put a headline like how you can make $100,000 in the next 10 days using our proprietary system. That right. headline probably wouldn't fly if you ran Facebook ad traffic to it. So do you want to talk into that for a second?
Sure. So the one thing that Facebook's really been honing in on and giving people an idea of like what not to do is don't put time frames on your ads. Mm-hmm. How you could do something in 72 hours, how you could do it in 30 days. Even if you said how you could do this in 12 months, they still hate that. Because what you're telling Facebook is anyone can do this in the same time frame. Right. When you generalize that sort of subject matter or the result in a time frame, Facebook believes that it's misleading.
Right.
Because what could have taken you 3 days or 3 months might take someone 3 years.
Got it.
It's not going to be the same for everyone. So removing time frames, but also let's not forget, I talked about putting a result in your headline. Right. When you put something like how I made $1.46 million last year, you're very specific. Facebook does not like that type of specificity.
Right.
What they would prefer is how my business earned over seven figures in revenue or over $1 million in revenue. It's not specific at all. Once again, no specificity on the time frame, no specificity on the result.
Right.
And there are some people who have headlines that will put the exact number down to the penny of what they earned. And that is just a huge red flag waiting to be found on Facebook. And so you keep it generalized, you keep it broad, don't put a time frame on it, and make it look like something that the general public can jump into. Not everyone in the public, unfortunately, believes they can make $1 million or they could even make $100,000. But right. there are plenty of people who would like to make their first $100
yeah,
or sure. make their first $1,000 or even their first $10,000. And so when I'm creating these headlines with people, depending on who they're catering to, in the beginner market, you might have people who are more susceptible to signing up for something that says, you know, how I'm able to consistently earn over $100 a day, even though it's somewhat specific, it's still a end result that's not very, you know, it's not too specific. It's not $110.10, right? Mm-hmm. It's just over $100 a day in e-commerce, right? It's very generalized. I'm not telling you what platform or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But if I were saying something more along the lines of how I earned over $1,000 in e-commerce, and I'll show you how, that's far more okay with Facebook than being, you know, the 100 per day or 1,000 per day or anything like that. You're constantly having to play with these headlines.
Got it.
And unfortunately, that's a part of the game. Not a fear-based tactic I'm throwing in here. It's just like anything else, you have to throw it out there and see what is responsive to the public, but also what Facebook's okay with when you're delivering something to their visitors.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Now another thing that I am noticing with these headlines, and one of the things that I was sort of alluding to when I originally asked that question, is you're using the language pattern, how I did X, how my business did X, how mm-hmm. How we did this. Right. That's, you know, you've been very specific about saying it in that way, as opposed to how you can do X, how your business can do X, you know. So that was that's another thing that I really noticed about the Facebook ad policy, is that they really don't want you telling people they can do something, but they are okay with you telling people how you did something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the exactly. things I was trying to get at as well.
Yeah, you have to focus around what you've done for yourself mm-hmm. and that it's only for you, right? So it's how I did blank, or how I helped 10 clients achieve blank, right? So it's all about your own experience. When you flip the copy and make it about them, how I'm going to show you how you can make $10,000 a month, all of a sudden Facebook looks at that and goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're pinpointing a person, you're saying they can do it, and we can't verify that that's true.
Right. That's huge. Yeah. So how does it work then? I'm sure these same rules kind of apply with the actual copy inside of the Facebook ads, right?
Right. So it's both a combination of the headline copy and the ad copy itself. So what goes above that headline mm-hmm. in the Facebook ad. But let's not forget, as much as I'm talking about just the ad side, you have to make sure your ad reflects what's also on the landing page. Because if you're saying how I'm going to show you something in your ad, and then you land on the landing page and it says, I'm going to show you how you can make $10,000 a month, Facebook will say that that's entirely misleading on both sides. You're saying the ad is about your own experience, but now the page says it's about them. It's misleading. That's against our policy.
Yeah. Okay. Now with the actual ad, since I kind of wanted to touch on the registration page first, because that's obviously where they have to drive the ad traffic to. But then the next phase, once the sort of registration page is up, obviously you've got to build your webinar. That's going to be a little bit too in-depth to get in on this call. There's tons of platforms and tools that'll host your webinar online. Yeah. You know, Easy Webinar is one that we use. There's also Ever Webinar, Webinar Jam, GoToMeeting, all those kind of things, right? So there's tons of tools for webinars. So I don't really want to get into that, but I do want to get more into the ad targeting and specific sort of things that you would focus on when you're driving ad traffic to the webinar registration page. And I know it's really hard to talk about targeting, because everybody who's listening to this is going to be in a different niche, have different customers, have different hot buttons, that kind of thing. But is there any sort of advice you can give people on A, targeting, and B, you know, the ad creative on Facebook to drive traffic to a webinar?
Sure. So we'll focus on the targeting really quick. So with targeting, most people are going to start with interests. Right, simply because they may not have an email list, they may not have any lookalikes or anything of that nature. They're strictly starting from ground zero. And what I find is the easiest way to start, especially if you're going to be using, you know, $5, $10 a day per audience in your initial advertising run, is that you think about who it is would be the ideal person that would buy into your program. So if you're selling something in fitness, for example, look at who it is that has either conversed with you on the subject that you're going to be selling, or has at least requested advice from you. So I have a client, for example, he's 28 years old. He's a personal trainer, and he's trying to build a community online of people he could train. But what he was having issues with was he couldn't create an avatar. Like, who's that ideal person that he would market to that would be aligned with his message and want to train with him online? He realized that his entire customer base locally were people who were 35 and over, not in their 20s like he thought they were going to be.
Interesting.
He's like, oh, you know, maybe people who are younger are going to want something online. They're not going to want to come to the gym and, you know, pay the fee that you would normally pay for a personal trainer.
Right.
But what he found out after we made that switch and going through his existing client base locally, that once we started targeting 35 and over, what we were saying to these people were, you know, stop trying to make time to make it to the gym. We can bring the gym to you. Because what he found was a lot of the people who were training with him had issues with time management. They were trying to always reschedule and make their way to the gym, and it was like a hassle to bring them there.
Right.
So we figured, you know what? Maybe these are the same exact problems that people online are experiencing, and that's why they're not making it to the gym. So I need to reflect that same problem. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, we know that entrepreneurs do well with him. We know that these are people 35 and over. And then I would just keep going down the line. Are these men or women that you're training most of the time? Oh, it's a 50-50 mix. Okay, let's do both. Right? So you're crafting that person, that ideal individual, while going through your existing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, we got to a point of what are the interests? That's pretty much the part where most people get stuck.
Right.
So if you're doing something that's more nationwide, this is where you have to put a lot of attention. Whereas if you're doing something locally, you would actually be able to target a city or even a specific community and see if anyone in the community is interested in what you have to deliver. But let's say it's nationwide in this case. So he's looking to promote his online membership, people who can work out from home and train along with him every day. Mm-hmm. So we thought these are entrepreneurs or people who have really high stress level jobs. They're 35 and over, men and women, but do they follow any other health professionals? Do they follow specific diets or any of those things? And what we had realized is that a lot of his existing clients were doing specific types of diets, ketogenic, intermittent fasting, or maybe they were doing more of an old school thing like Atkins diet or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we just decided, you know what, let's start somewhere and let's just target all these different diets and show people like, hey, let's not forget, it's not just about what you're putting in your body. You also have to exercise, and we're going to make it easy for you to exercise at home, right? So we were just catering that copy to fit that ideal customer that he already has locally, but bring in national.
Yeah.
You could do this same exact process with anything. Mm-hmm. I have a Facebook ad. I have an agency that focuses around Facebook ads and Instagram. Great. Who does it fit? Well, it's influencers and local business owners and international-based businesses. All right, let's break it down further. Who's the average client that I have? Well, most of them are over the age of 35. Okay, so I could take that same process with my own business. So we do that same thing with our existing clients, people we consult with, and that same process can be applied with anything that you promote. You just go from age, gender, language of they're speaking, what do they follow, and what is their core pain point?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, just staying on the topic of targeting for a second, I know once you have a few people registered for your webinar, let's say, let's say you've gotten 500 people to register for your webinar. Maybe this is over a couple month period, but you have 500 people registered to your webinar. Yep. All of a sudden, new opportunities for targeting open up for you through things like retargeting and you know, importing customer lists and stuff. Do you want to talk about some of that kind of stuff to even improve the performance of your webinar once you have some data?
Sure. So once you get to the 500 or even 1,000 person mark, that's when the fun really begins, mm-hmm. right? Because now you're able to create what's called lookalike audiences or even just custom audiences, right? So you mm-hmm. have custom audiences, which are, you know, emails or phone numbers that you could load into your ad account and create an audience from that, which then you can expand upon that audience to create lookalikes. You also can create a custom audience of people who visited your webinar registration page or any page in your sales funnel. But the core thing you're looking for is having at least 500 to 1,000 people to start, right? So that could be 500 page views or 500 leads. Either way, you want to start with at least 500. Hmm. So when you get to 500 registrations and you load that list into your ad account, you're able to create what's called a lookalike, which is essentially a list of similar or related people to whom has already registered for your stuff. So if there are 500 leads or registrations, Facebook's going out there to create a audience of, let's just say, 2 million people with similar characteristics, similar gender, similar everything, as much as they can possibly gather from those 500 people. Now, the goal is that you want to have more of a list size, whether it's emails or people who've hit a specific page in your funnel, because the larger that sample size is, the better that audience becomes, meaning Facebook has more data to work with in creating that similar audience. But when you get to the 500 mark, that's when you could start creating those lookalike audiences. And not just in a sense of you could do what's called a 1%, which is creating a 2 million person audience, but you can go as high as 20 million, which is the 10%. In the beginning, you just want to start with 1%. And so as your list gets bigger and the amount of people who visited your funnel gets bigger, you can start to create more lookalikes along the way.
Yeah, no, that's where it really gets fun. So
it takes the guesswork out of it a little bit.
You stop having to dig in and find cold audiences, because now Facebook is going to look at your existing audience and say, oh, these people, they have a lot of similar traits, so let's put it in front of these people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I don't know if it's too soon to talk about this, but I know that there's a strategy even. You could do lookalikes based off of free opt-ins, so registrants. And mm-hmm. then later on, as you get, say, 500 buyers for whatever you're selling, then you can create those people as the lookalike. So you're getting more of that targeted buyer type audience.
Well, yeah, it's like a kind of like a step up strategy where maybe at first you're creating a lookalike of people who have landed on your page. And then mm-hmm. once you get a lot of registrations, then you create a lookalike for people who have registered. And then once you get a lot of sales, then you create a lookalike of the people who have bought. And so it gets more and more and more targeted with each sort of progressive step that you take.
Exactly. So that's why when you are tracking each element of the funnel from the page view all the way down to the purchase, you're able to create lookalikes of each of those steps. Like, I've even had some clients where we're creating a lookalike audience of all the people who've hit an upsell page mm-hmm. in the funnel.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which then means that all these people have bought something from this client in order to have hit that page.
Right.
So now we're creating this list or this lookalike audience of people who are more likely to buy something to get to that same point.
Yeah.
So that's when you know you're getting a lot of traffic or your list is getting quite large. But like I said, you have to start somewhere. Yeah. And most people can start with creating a lookalike of page views before they can even create a lookalike of a list. Right. And once you get to the size of 500 people on your list, then you create a version of a lookalike for that. And it just keeps going down the chain.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And we touched on retargeting as well, because we haven't really talked about that. We actually get a lot of questions about retargeting and even mm-hmm. just the basics of retargeting. But how would you use, I guess, quickly explain retargeting, but how they would actually be able to use that in this scenario when they're going to register people for a webinar?
Sure. So retargeting is essentially this. Someone lands on your website or your registration page, and let's say that they bounce, they leave. Retargeting allows you to essentially target that same individual again with the same exact ad or a brand new ad. It's another point of contact with that same person who's already seen something you've delivered. Now, whether they've watched a video in the newsfeed, or they've landed on your website, or even if maybe they registered for your webinar already, you can retarget these people at each point in your funnel, right? So like I mentioned, the first thing is, if let's say you have a video ad and someone watches your video, you can retarget people who've watched a specific amount of time of your video. You can also retarget the people who've landed on their landing page. And really, that's just a setup of, one, you need to have your tracking in place, your pixels in place from any platform that you're using. In this case, we're talking about Facebook. So you need to have your pixels in place on any page that you're promoting. But on top of that, you then want to make sure that if each page has its appropriate pixel, that you are creating an audience for each of those pages so you can retarget in different ways. Mm-hmm. So for those who watch your video, you might have a retargeting ad that says, hey, we noticed you watched our video, but you haven't signed up for our training. Then you might have people who landed on your landing page but didn't register. They have a different retargeting ad that says, hey, we noticed you checked out our training, but you didn't register. And then you send them a different reason as to why they should register. Mm. And then for the people who did register, you have a retargeting ad reminding them to show up to the training. Mm-hmm. So each point has a different way that you can convey a new message to these people, whether it's to bring them back to register for something or bring them back just simply as a reminder mm-hmm. that something's happening.
Right, right. Or even a day after they registered to remind right. them that there's a replay available.
Could be.
Exactly. So that is the sequential element of it, where you can do things based on a specific period of time, right? The day after, 7 days later, people who've seen your stuff in the last 30 days. There's all sorts of different ways you can maneuver this. And if you're doing something like e-commerce, it's how, you know, you could basically re-show that same product to the person and say, hey, we noticed you made it to the cart and you didn't buy. Mm. Here's another 10% off to go make your purchase.
Yeah.
So now you're enticing them with a reason to go finish the buy purchase.
It's just an awesome way. Yeah, we call it kind of internally our cleanup crew. You know, whenever we – it's just another way to basically follow up. You know, they haven't taken the action that we're quite wanting them to take. Here's another opportunity, and you can hit them as many times as you really want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Do we want to talk about just like super, super quick – what sort of ad creatives have you seen work to drive people to webinars? Like, I mean, just like any like quick tips on the ad image or an ad video or the type of copy you've seen that has worked well to get that click over to the registration.
Sure. So the best creative right now in this very moment for me is video. Hmm. Whether it's talking head, meaning you're in front of a camera, or doing whiteboard style, where you could still be in the video and writing on a whiteboard, yeah. right? Whiteboard style could still constitute like a keynote or a PowerPoint, and you're just going through, because it depends on how you're presenting the information, right?
Right.
Now, the reason why I love video so much is because of the different types of retargeting elements that we just talked about. But really, it's I can then find how much people are truly watching my content. So if I create a 1 minute ad, how many of those people are making it to the 50 or 55 second mark? And in seeing that information through the custom audiences in the account, I'm able to see how many people are truly interested in what I have to say, because those are the same people that I would target for new offers in the future, or retarget them and say, hey, you seemed very interested in what we have to offer. Here's when our training's taking place, or here's the offer itself, mm-hmm. right? So when you can have 75% or more of your people watching your content, that's when you have the almost the best type of targeting available, right? It's those most engaged with your content. And also with video, the fact that if you make something less than 60 seconds, I can set my ad to automatic placement. This is where we're getting a little technical. I get set it to automatic placement and let Facebook tell me where my video is performing best. Is it performing best in the newsfeed, the right-hand side, Instagram, the audience network? Because what we might find is that my video is doing incredibly well on Instagram, and all of a sudden I'm getting leads for $4 a piece on Instagram, whereas if I split everything up individually, I'd have to spend $10 a day across each interest. Let's just say it's 50 bucks, and it would have taken me 50 bucks to figure out that one placement was where people wanted to see my face.
Interesting.
So that's why with video, less than 60 seconds, that's the key point here. You could test those things simultaneously all at the same time. And that's why I love using video for webinars. I have one client right now where we have banner ads, image ads, and a video. All the video we set to automatic. All the banners we pretty much only set to the newsfeed. And the video is crushing it on Instagram. But when we use it on Facebook in the newsfeed, it doesn't work as well. But when we use the images in the newsfeed, it works incredibly well. So now we have a dynamic duo of advertising out there where one's cleaning it up on Instagram and the other one's cleaning it up on Facebook.
Yeah. Wow. All right, Matt, we got to get some video rocking.
I know.
For this webinar of ours.
We actually had a call with David because, you know, we work with David's agency for our own ads. And
yeah.
He gave us, what, three or four ideas for videos that we're going to get cranking on this week. So
we have them on the to-do, David. So Friday, I'm planning on getting them to you.
Excited to do that.
Very nice.
Would you be open to doing a follow-up episode maybe in a few weeks? Because there's actually... We actually only touched on about 50% of what we wanted to touch on with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Sweet.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're going to have to do a follow-up with you because we want to dive a little bit on affiliate marketing using Facebook ads as well. I know it's sort of a taboo topic to some, and a lot of people think you're not allowed to do affiliate marketing on Facebook, which is actually not true at all. But you need to be doing it in the right way. So I think it would be really cool to do a sort of follow-up episode and talk about that a little bit and give some people some ideas on that if you're open to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say this. It's 100% possible to advertise on Facebook in affiliate marketing offer or do any sort of affiliate marketing. But it's all about how you present it to people and doing it in a way where you're not misleading into people believing that it's your product. I'll just leave it at that.
Cool. Good little teaser there.
Very cool. Very cool. So we're going to ask a couple little final wrap-up questions that we like to ask everybody. Do you have any book recommendations? They could be about Facebook ads if you have any, but they don't have to be. But anything that you find yourself reading, you know, maybe once per year or checking in on often, just a, you know, one of your go-to books.
Sure. So I don't really read anything relating to Facebook advertising. I read more around ad psychology. Right. So, for example, there's a book I read constantly called Breakthrough Advertising.
Probably the most recommended book on this podcast.
True.
Yeah. I read that all the time. There's another book called Cashvertising.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I don't know much about that one. Okay.
I've heard a few other people mention that one, but I haven't picked it up myself yet.
Yeah. And really, so when you're trying to understand why people click or why people buy, it's not about the platform. It's about the message. And so when you start to understand marketing and advertising psychology, you'll notice that it becomes a lot easier for you to create ads on any platform. Now, of course, you can say that copywriting is really important too, but let's not forget there's still psychology elements in copywriting, right? So you can just take your knowledge or your focus of where you want to create your knowledge, let's say it's copy or psychology and things like that, and just look at the books that talk about, you know, buyer intention, how to create a raving fan base or how to, you know, generate lots of leads through different forms of advertising. And what you'll notice is lots of them talk about copy and ad psychology, right? It's the words you're presenting to these people. And so, you know, I know there's quite a few people out there that have books on Facebook ads and, you know, they're trying to create the Bible around it. But quite honestly, if you just took away the part that says Facebook in it, it's just a book about ad psychology.
Right.
So you might as well go for the books that have been around for ages and just read about what has worked decade over decade. in advertising, whether it was in newspaper or magazine, because those same principles still apply on Facebook.
Absolutely. And you know, you have that side benefit of those those principles. They work not only for your ad copy, but for your opt-in page, your sales page, your webinar, you know, everywhere else as well.
Right.
So lots of great philosophy that works everywhere. So I think those are some good recommendations. And
yeah, and the last question, we just want to tell people where they should go find you. Where can they learn more about you?
Sure. So you can find me on Facebook, obviously. Uh-huh. You can just type in facebook.com/SCHLOSSY Schlossy. Goes directly to my profile. Everyone calls me Schlossy, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Yeah. So if you go there, you could send me a direct message. I do check my inbox from both the primary and anything that gets hidden. So I will always see your message. If you'd prefer to send me an email direct, maybe you want to do something together, you could always send me an email at david@rampify.com and we could discuss what it'd look like to possibly have your Facebook or Instagram ads being done for you.
Very cool.
Sweet. And I will just say that was probably one of the best investments we've done in the last year in our business or more. Was definitely investing in David and his team. So it's good stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, man.
Awesome. So
thank you for your time. And we're looking forward to part two already. I just do it, but we don't have the time now. We'll get there.
All right, man.
Awesome, guys.
Good talking to you.
Thank you. Bye. See ya.
Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for listening to this podcast. Now, if you want to learn more and hear from us every single month, which a lot of people do, it's pretty fun. We actually write this thing called the Evergreen Profits Letter, and that is a printed newsletter that we actually send to hundreds of people every single month to your doorstep. So you actually get it in the mail. You can read this sucker. You can highlight it. You can dog ear. You can scratch some stuff out if you don't like that one. You say, no, Joe and Matt, that's not cool for me. But you can take a lot of different strategies, about 15 or so from every single issue, and it's really cool. So basically, these are actionable strategies that you can use in your business right away to test out and pretty much build on what you already have going on. So check it out. It's at www.egpletter.com. It's pretty amazing. And yeah, you should go check it out. See what it's all about.
Boom.